Let's get it going, Dr. Dre, man. Crank up the music, man.
Oh, it's on. Here we go. You ready? Let's crank us up, Rob. America, it's time. To talking sports with the 12th man that never gets old, Rob. I don't know. It's just awesome, man. I love it.
Oh yeah, man. We got to get it started with some slamming music so we can talk about this sorry BCS tonight.
Oh, here we go. Welcome, of course, to talking sports with the 12th man. Today is Tuesday, December the 4th. We're actually in December. Time is flying by, and I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host Robert Ford, and you are now talking sports with the 12th man. Once again, for those who want to call in, and we got a lot of fun things to talk about. We're going to throw out the numbers and all that fun stuff, how to get in touch with us. First and foremost, the number to call to the show, which is toll-free. It's 424-243-9519. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, 12th Man Sports, for those that want to know. And also, if you wanted to reach us on Twitter, it is at the number 12, THMAMSports.com. But once again, Rob Ford, I got to ask you, how are you doing on this great, great Tuesday evening?
Well, I'm doing great. You know what? I'm a little hungry at 10 o'clock at night. That's not a good thing, man. You know, I've kind of got a taste for some red beans or some white beans for some smoked sausage right about now, man. And, you know, I know it's a sports show, but, you know, I got to throw out a little food talk in here a little bit. But, you know, it's not really a great thing to be hungry at 10 o'clock at night. But another thing I wanted to say to our listeners real quick, I know we have a list of topics that we're going to be covering tonight, but if there's anything that you all want to talk about, so feel free to call, even if it's something way out in left field, we're not even talking about it, but if you have a question you want to send our way, please feel free to call us as well. Once again, Andre set the number 424-243-9519. How's it going in your world, Dr. Dre?
It's going great, man. I'm not as hungry as you, man. But like I said, if you ever want to throw in some food in there or whatever, video game topics, whatever, this is a great forum for talking whatever. So I know we're talking sports, but we can kind of change it up. That's what it's all about. We're for the people. And let's get it going, sir. So first and foremost, obviously, we got to talk about some serious news. We got to send out our condolences to the Kansas City Chiefs and the family of Javon Belcher and the obviously family of Cassandra Perkins. Very, very tragic thing that happened this past weekend. And, you know, domestic violence, it kind of hurts everyone. So just want to send out our condolences about that as well, sir.
Yeah, so, you know, this is one of these situations that happens in the sports world where, you know, it just kind of brings all of us to our knees. It's a very tough situation. And, you know, it's a really tough situation for Scott Pioli, the general manager for the Chiefs, and Romeo Crennel, the head coach of the Chiefs, and also Gary Gibbs, who's also the linebacker. I'm sorry, he's the defensive coordinator / linebackers coach for the Chiefs. And they actually witnessed him committing suicide. The three of them tried to talk him out of it, to put the gun down. Really tough situation. You almost wonder if the three of them are going to need counseling after seeing something like that. And but, you know, our condolences go out to the, you know, the Chiefs. We wish them to, in their organization, a smooth recovery from this. And, of course, the families of Javon Belcher and the victim, Cassandra. Definitely a sad story.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, obviously it's just something that like you said, it takes this pause away from what's really important. And sometimes, you know, sports, it's kind of secondary. You know, obviously it's all about life. So just something that we wanted to send out our condolences and prayers as well, and also for victims of domestic violence too. So definitely something to be mindful of. Let's kind of switch gears. I know it's kind of tough to do that after that topic, but let's talk about the NFL's top five teams, and obviously we got a lot of things to recap over the weekend for some college football, but let's do some NFL stuff, and then we'll jump right into college because we got a lot of things to discuss, coaching and all this other stuff too. But let's dive right into the NFL's top five teams, and I always go first, Rob, but I'm actually going to switch it up and let you talk about your top five.
All right, cool. So I'm going to get the party started on tonight. Number one, I'm still going to go with the Houston Texans, and for quite a few reasons, you know, well-balanced offensive attack, still, you know, getting the job done with the pass rush. Secondary maybe looking a little leaky here in the last few weeks, but, you know, I still think overall right now they're playing like the best team in the NFL. Number two, I have to go with your Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, they're just continuing to get the job done and finding ways to win, so you got to give them credit for that at 11-1. Number three, I've moved up the New England Patriots. Here they come, knocking on the door, people. The New England Patriots have moved up to number three. And once again, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, getting the job done. Once again, number four, the Denver Broncos. This is another team that is moving up, and they're on a roll right now. If I'm not mistaken, they've won about seven or eight in a row, and they're probably one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. Peyton Manning, Von Miller is one of the most fierce pass rushers in the league right now from that linebacker spot. They're playing well. The running game may have lost a slight luster without Willis McGahee, but it might get him back for the playoffs. But overall, you're looking at Demaryius Thomas is turning into a superstar as a wide receiver, and they have depth on that ball club. And this is definitely a contender. And number five, last but not least, I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. I had the Baltimore Ravens number five. I'm sorry, I had the 49ers six. The Ravens are number five, even though they lost to the Steelers this past weekend. They're definitely number five. So right now, the only team in the NFC I have in the top five is your Falcons.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the Falcons, too, because I want to let everyone know out in
not
America,
the whole show, though. Not the whole show.
What do you mean not the whole show? What are you talking about?
We like to talk about the Falcons the whole show.
I'm just messing with you. We're not going to do that. I know you're a little nervous, but I'm going to tell the whole world about something else. I can't wait to actually have some pictures of Mr. Rob Ford wearing a Julio Jones Falcons jersey since that was for the bet. So stay tuned.
You know what?
That.
I got a comment about that. I don't really think that's fair. You know,
Why's not fair?
The two teams actually split this year, and I think that maybe should apply to on the year when a team sweeps a team, not when they have a split.
Now,
well, that's not
that
fair.
Last week, man.
If you want me to, you know, if you want me to live up to it, you know, I'm gonna keep my word. But you know, it's a split year. It's not a sweep.
We're gonna talk about that, America. I can't wait to see Robert Ford in a Julio Jones jersey for the Falcons. So that's gonna be coming up soon. But let's see, my top five. The only reason why I have Houston number one is because they've won the past six games. So that's the only reason. My Falcons, you know, obviously. Number three, we're a little bit different. I've got Denver number three because they've actually won the past seven games. You talk about an incredible comeback. Peyton Manning is doing his thing, so I've got them at number three. I've got the New England Patriots. And these are all based upon records. I've got these are all my 9-3 teams. So New England is number four. They've actually won six of their past couple of games. And this is a tough get. You got to go Baltimore, number five. They're 9-3 as well, even though they lost. They've actually won their last one as well. But that's what we have. And, you know, like you said, San Francisco, they just dropped out probably number six in that ranking, only because of the fact, like you said, they just ran into it. Certain teams just match up well. And for some reason, the Rams match up well with the 49ers, and they keep giving them all kinds of fits. So, you know, that's how it plays out, top five. I still have a lot of love for the 49ers. And we'll keep it going. So I'm going to refill out the number real quick. Rob, we got about 20 minutes left in the show. But as always, if you want to share your thoughts, are we crazy? Are we nuts? Do you think Rob should still continue to have this bet like he's trying to get out of it? Call the show at 424-243.
I'm going to keep my word. If you want me to do it, I'm going to keep my word.
It's all good. You get like a lot of wins, man. So, you know, it's all good. But once again, call us, hit us up on Twitter. Facebook, once again, facebook.com/12thmansports. We got a lot of things to discuss and follow up. But let's talk to the next topic, sir. And who is the best rookie quarterback in the NFL? And this is a pretty tough question for me because there are actually three guys that are definitely worthy of this conversation. And this reminds me, believe it or not, I'm going to kind of bring some old school stuff. I'm reminded this group reminds me of that famous 1983 draft where you had three future Hall of Famers and Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, and John Elway, who actually combined for like 10 Super Bowls. So the quarterbacks I'm talking about obviously are RG3, Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson. And I would actually say that right now, if I'm looking at it right now, I'm a huge fan of RG3. I really am. I like what Mike Shanahan has done. He's kind of simplified the system. But I would have to give a slight nod to Andrew Luck because I think he's actually mastered more of the playbook. They've kind of said, hey, this is you, do your thing. And I think he didn't have that great of a team. And just to insert him into that Colts team, and he's actually done a lot of wonders, obviously from last year from Kurt Painter. They're actually 8-4, and I think that's a huge surprise. So that's who I think, as much as I'm a big fan of both the other quarterbacks, RG3 and also Russell Wilson, I think Andrew Luck gets a slight nod.
Well, yeah, I think I'm gonna go. With a first place tie between Andrew Luck and RG3.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty close. And what I like what both of these coaches have done with their teams, Bruce Arians with the Colts and Shanahan with the Redskins, I think they have both put together offenses that complement their skills. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're thriving. And I mean, Luck, you know, you can easily say Luck may be better because he's 8-4, and it looked like the Colts are going to definitely be in the playoffs. The Redskins are 6-6 and has a chance to make the playoffs. But I'm gonna give him a tie. I'm gonna give him a first place tie. Russell Wilson. I'm sorry, world. Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Seahawks. Is slightly behind him, but he's having a very good year as well. Impressive road victory at Chicago this past weekend, coming up in the clutch. But I'm going to say a tie between Luck and RG3. And you got to give their coaching staffs a lot of credit for putting them in a position to succeed as well.
Yeah, you know, like we talked about too, it's very interesting. And you have to be impressed with Russell Wilson because I think he came out of nowhere to – I say nowhere because, like I said, I'm sure these other guys were, you know, obviously highly talked about. And Russell Wilson was more or less a third round draft pick, and he actually beat out Matt Flynn, who had that huge contract. And at first, we were thinking about our coach out there. Is he crazy? But Pete Carroll knew something that we didn't know, and obviously Russell Wilson, he played a very impressive game versus the Bears. They tried to rattle him, and he just literally drove them fits, running, passing, and doing a great job as far as, you know, right now putting the Seahawks in. That's a team that has more of a bright future than we thought. I'm actually going to make a quick little comment, sir. Do you think that there's two other quarterbacks that we should mention? Are they kind of forgotten this? And I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill and Brandon Wheaton. And obviously Wheaton, you know, he may not be the elite quarterback that we're thinking. Maybe he's more of a game manager. But is Tannehill, you think, kind of getting forgotten in this whole thing? I mean, do you think he's playing well for being a rookie quarterback as well?
I think this. I think you're starting to see strides from Brandon Wheaton in Cleveland. I really do. I think the last couple of weeks you're starting to see him making some progression here. And he's starting to play really well. Tannehill, I'm still not seeing a lot from him just yet, but I think Tannehill has more ability. And this is a guy, the thing about Tannehill you got to keep in mind is this guy was a wide receiver in college that they converted to a quarterback. So I think he's still learning the position a little bit, but I think he's got a lot of upside. I just think that his light may come on about year three. You may see him have a huge jump from year two to three. You know, like I said, he's only played 2 years of quarterback in college. He came in as a wide receiver. Mike Sherman, the head coach there at Texas A&M at the time, converted him to a quarterback, and now he's his offensive coordinator with the Dolphins. I just think that, you know, give this kid a few more years, and I think you're looking at a big-time prospect here. You know, Brandon Wheaton is about 29 years old, so he's probably is what he is at this stage just because of his age. But I'll go back to Andrew Luck, RG3, and Russell Wilson. One of the things that impressed me this past weekend, all three of those guys came up with big drives at the end of the game to win those games over this past weekend. You look at Luck, last play of the game, touchdown pass to beat Detroit on the road. You look at Russell Wilson, leads the team on a drive to take the lead in the regulation. The game goes into overtime. He leads them on another drive to win the game. And you look at RG3 last night, a drive to go ahead over the Giants, 17-16. All three of these rookie quarterbacks with clutch drives to win, playing like veterans. Very impressive.
It's going to be very tough for the next class coming in because they're going to have to put up to a lot of expectations right now. So we'll see how that plays out.
It won't be as good.
And that's interesting, too. And I know we're going to talk about some draft stuff as we start getting closer at the end of, obviously moving into the next year. But I'm still surprised because Geno Smith was tearing it up at the beginning of the year. Then obviously he's kind of faded. Matt Barkley, you can argue that he was, a top quarterback and he's kind of faded. Landry Jones, same thing. There's a lot of quarterbacks that, they're kind of, their stock has dropped, but obviously it's going to be interesting, and as there's a lot of teams that may need quarterbacks, and are you going to go with Alex Smith, or are you going to go with Michael Vick, or are you going to go with the undrafted rookie? So it's just going to be interesting to see what happens going into the obviously the next season. So I digress.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So I don't know if you want to make a comment about that. That's just me just kind of thinking for the future because, I'm sure whenever we saw Geno Smith, we thought this guy's had the Heisman hands down. But, I digress. We'll move on. I didn't mean to talk about different things. Let's talk about a big NFL prediction before we jump into college football coming up. We have a pretty huge game coming up, Houston at New England. The Houston Texans at the Patriots. This is a pretty, pretty big game. This is a statement game if you're Houston. And what do you think is going to happen in this game, Rob? Because obviously there's a lot of challenges because New England didn't have that strong of a defense. Their secondary is a little weak, but same thing could be said for the Texans. So what's the game plan, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think this is a statement game for the Houston Texans. I think, New England has dominated the AFC for about the last 11 years or so now, and the Texans are a new kid on the block. So I think this is a big game for them to go up there and prove that they're getting ready to take over the AFC. But I think this is going to be a tough road trip for Houston. I like the way New England's playing right now. I like the way Houston is playing right now. I think if this game was in Houston, Houston wins. I think if this game was on a neutral field, I think Houston wins. But in New England, I got to go with the Patriots in this game. I think they're going to be up and ready for this one. And I think Houston is a slightly better team, but I like New England at home in this game.
Wow. Both of these teams have won six games. So there's going to have to be a reckoning. So it's kind of tough. I actually had Houston on this just because I think they're going to try to run the ball and try to keep the ball away from Tom Brady. But, I'm not a confident pick in that. So I think they're going to try to make a statement too, but we'll see. So, I'm going with Houston right now just to be different. And, like I said, I know you're close to Houston right now, Rob. So hopefully everyone's going to show you some love too, man. So we'll keep that one going.
I know we have a lot of listeners in the Houston area, so I know they're going to love you for your prediction, but it's all good.
Rob is keeping it real. Love it, love it, love it. Let's jump into some college football once again. Call us, talk us, 424-243-9519 for those that want to add on to the conversation. And we're going to jump into some college football. There's been a lot of movement for college coaches, and this was a big surprise. We had a couple of hires. We have Brett, Lima, leaving Wisconsin and heading to Arkansas. Gus Malzahn heading to Auburn. These are some – I thought Auburn was going to pull a coup and actually bring Bobby Petrino in there, but you talk about some surprising moves, and definitely Wisconsin. What do you think about this? Is this kind of a surprise, or how did this actually come to play? I don't know if this is a good hire or not.
Well, I think he's a heck of a football coach. He's done a tremendous job at Wisconsin. He's the Big Ten champion 3 years in a row, going to the Rose Bowl for the third time in a row. So definitely a great football coach, can coach both sides of the ball, runs a solid program, a clean program, and they're looking for somebody that come in to be a family man. you know, especially after Bobby Petrino fiasco last year. So I think he's a clean hire. You know, he's a clean hire for the Arkansas program. I don't think it's going to put Arkansas ahead of Alabama and LSU and that SEC West. And then you have a rising star in the SEC West and Texas A&M. So this might put Arkansas somewhere around fourth in that West. But I think you'll see a team that's going to compete, and they're going to contend every year. And they'll be a solid program. You're looking at a team, you know, that can go 8-4, you know, maybe every now and again a team that can go 9-3. And but they'll be a solid program. But they'll be competing right around that fourth spot in the SEC. Then you look at Gus Malzahn, and probably the same thing at Auburn. They'll probably be right in that middle of the pack, SEC West. They're not going to be where Alabama, LSU, and the rising star in Texas A&M. They'll be right there battling with Arkansas and Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You know, Gus Malzahn was offensive coordinator for Auburn for many years when Cam Newton was there as well. So it's a solid hire, but I don't think he's a program game-changing kind of coach as well. So they'll be just middle of the pack. They'll go to a bowl game with those 8-4, 8-5 records.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, so why do you make these hires if they're not going to push you to the next level, Rob? I mean, why do you think, I mean, like I said, Gus Malzahn, he's like kind of pulling back to the past, and like I said, he was an offensive great for Auburn, but it's kind of like a situation where you're like, well, these are, unless they don't know something we don't know, I mean, is there something that these coaches are going to bring that's going to, like you said, a little something extra that we don't know? Same thing with a couple of different hires we had earlier, you know? I mean, what do you think the...
I don't think these guys are bad hires, but I think it's, you know, but I think, you know, you'll see these coaches, you know, every now and again they'll have a year where they'll just come out and they'll be really good, just like Auburn was a few years ago. They caught a break with getting a stud in Cam Newton. And, but, you know, Auburn is not going to have those kind of players every year. I mean, like I said, they caught a break and they won a national title. I mean, so these guys may be able to have that happen, you know, every now and again. But let's face it. Alabama and LSU right now are probably two of the top five programs in the country, and they and both of these coaches are going to have to compete with those programs. And then you got Johnny Football at Texas A&M, who's a star, and he's still got 3 years of eligibility left. And so, you know, it'll be hard-pressed for these two guys to come in there and compete with those three programs in the foreseeable future. But, you know, they'll be, you know, middle of the pack, you know, maybe ranked in the 20s, you know, competing. I mean, you're not going to be able to go into their stadiums and blow them out. You're going to have to go in there and play a hard-nosed football game to beat them, especially with Brett Bielema at, from Wisconsin, Arkansas. I mean, they played some hard-nosed football.
Yeah, do you think he's going to come in and change the style? Because Wisconsin was known for having that pretty aggressive, pretty, you know, physical-style running game. I mean, and right now it looks like Arkansas has more of that wide-open type of passing him. You think he's going to come in there and actually change that
absolutely. He's going to come in there and put his stamp on a program. You know, he's going to bring his philosophy with him. And, you know, the good thing about the kind of philosophy, you know, you got a strong running game and a good defense. You know, a strong running game and a defense will travel. A passing game don't always travel well. And so, you know, you can travel with a strong running game and a good defense. And that's what Bielema is going to bring there to Arkansas. He may not have the personnel that the Alabamas and the LSUs, Georgias and the Floridas are going to have, but he's going to have to coach up these guys. He's going to have to redshirt players and get their strength and conditioning up, you know, and that's the benefit, you know, that he'll be able to have. He may get these second-tier players, but he'll be able to redshirt them and kind of get them up to par, you know, for his program.
Just be patient, Arkansas. I know you're going to be a little upset because it's not going to be as flashy like it was, but you'll have definitely a solid team and very similar to maybe what Notre Dame has. It's very strong defense, great running game, stuff like that. We've got almost about five and a half minutes left, and let's talk about Aaron Rodgers ripping the BCS. Then we'll do some fantasy shout-outs, then we'll talk about some Heisman stuff. But, yeah, I don't know if you guys have been watching this but or heard about this, but Aaron Rodgers – during an interview for ESPN 540 in Milwaukee, called the BCS college football system a joke, and it was outdated. And I actually agree with him, believe it or not. And he actually had some good points. And now, granted, He was talking about, you know, maybe having a 16-team playoff system. Not sure if it can go all the way to that, but, you know, obviously it'd be great to have like an underdog, maybe a Cinderella team like a Northern Illinois, give them a shot to actually compete. You know, it wouldn't happen, but, you know, everybody wants that champion. So I think it's I actually agree with him wholeheartedly as far as that. Not sure if it can actually happen, but the NCAA, I'm sure they're pretty pissed off about this. So what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I don't know anybody who likes the current BCS system, and that's just the real truth. And, I mean, it's a flawed system, and the new system just can't get here fast enough. And looking forward to it. But, you know, BCS and these bowl games and the NCAA football, I mean, they're just so far behind the loop. I think college football has the best regular season in all of sports, but it just goes away to the worst postseason in all of sports. And it's just so far behind with this system. Even a new system in a couple of years is not perfect. It's better than what we have. There's no doubt about it. You know, and we're just so far behind the eight ball in college football. And you just have so many of these old guys in the NCAA, these school administrators, and also these corporate America guys that are just, you know, it's about the money and the bowl games. But, you know, it's going to be a long time before we see a real playoff system where we can get to 8 or 16 teams or even a 32-team field. And it's going to be a long time before we can get to that. So we got to take baby steps, and these are some long baby steps, too, before we're going to see that. I mean, it'll probably be 20, 30, 20, 40 before we see an 8 or 16-team playoff. But this is the new system will take place in a few years. I think it's going to be good until about 2024, 2025. So we're going to have to deal with that. But the 14 playoff, it's a start. And if we had it this year, we would have had a matchup of Notre Dame and Oregon in one semifinal, Alabama and Florida in another semifinal. I mean, very attractive matchups.
Basic crapshoot, man. That's what BCS stands for, man. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Let's do some fantasy shout-outs. We got about 2.5 minutes or so to do, so we'll do fantasy shout-outs, and we'll jump right into next week, and we'll keep it going to the OT.
Oh, real quick on the fantasy shout-outs here, 12-man sports talking football. We are fantasy football. We're getting close to the wire here. Crazy Crew is still the number one team in the league. Wayne DeGrange, we're coming up to our last week of the regular season before the playoffs start. College football pick'em challenge is officially over, and yours truly, Robert Ford, is the champion. We get ready to We're getting ready to go into a college bowl pick'em now. We have that up as well. We're having a college bowl pick'em now. ID number, if you're all interested, on Yahoo Sports, ID number is 9111, and the password is LSU, baby. Yes, you heard it right. The group ID is 9111. And the password is LSU, baby. All lowercase.
LSU, baby.
LSU, space, baby. All lowercase. Group ID 9111. Password LSU, baby. For those of you all who want to compete with us in the College Bowl Pick'em Challenge. And,
that's
of course, we have a college. We have a fantasy.
We got LSU guy pick the things. But go ahead,
Then also we have a fantasy basketball league, and yours truly is in first place in that as well. So hopefully I'll be able to stay in that that lead as well. So we just want to thank you all for competing with us. Make sure you all just sign up for the College Bowl Pick'em Challenge. Once again, group ID 9111, password LSU baby, all lowercase. And once again, I want to thank you all for listening on tonight. For those of you all that have access to a computer on tomorrow, please listen into our OT portion. We still have some more college football, NBA, and some college basketball to discuss. So make sure you all tune in for that and join us on next Tuesday, same time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. Good night, world.
Good night, people. Yes, tune in to the OT portion of the show. We have a lot of fun things. Like you said, tell your friends. Tell us how you like the show. Tell us, hit us up on Facebook for any future topics going into next week. And that is what it's all about. For Robert Ford, I am Andre Peterson signing off. Thank you for listening to Talking Sports for the 12th Man. Love you guys. We'll talk soon.
Good night, people.
I love it, love it, love it. And we are now jumping into the OT portion of the show, and there is more to discuss. And we're going to keep it in the college football world, and your buddy, Jim Mora, actually declined an interview with Tennessee and Auburn, and I guess we're going to talk about this as well. And word on the street, Rob, is that Charlie Strong is getting some heavy, heavy, you know, love from Tennessee. Tennessee wants him pretty bad. Do you think this is a good move? And also tell us what you think about Jim Mora, junior, not senior, playoffs. had to throw that in there. You think he's he's going to stay right where he was at UCLA? Let's tell us your thoughts about this.
Remember, Jim Mora says he's not a junior. He said he and his dad have the different middle names.
I just want to throw that out there. I was just messing with you anyway.
But anyway, yeah, very interesting. I mean, Jim Mora says he's happy at UCLA. And, you know, Jim Mora is a West Coast guy by nature. You know, he's grew up in the Seattle area. His dad coached at UCLA, so he spent a lot of time in Los Angeles. So I would, you know, it makes a little bit of a sense. And, you know, SEC schools, just about every school in the conference, maybe except for Vanderbilt or maybe except for Kentucky, football is king at those schools. And UCLA still is a little bit of a basketball school. So I'm surprised he didn't at least talk to Tennessee and Auburn, where football would be first and would be king at those universities. But Jim Mora says the University of UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, is committed to football. They're committed to giving him the resources to win on a regular basis. So I guess he just felt comfortable of staying there. And it kind of makes sense. You know, he had a really good season this past year. Tennessee is going to really be hard for them to get back to where he once was. Number one, recruiting is an issue for Tennessee right now. The state of Tennessee does not put out the kind of football prospects. You know, Tennessee has to recruit nationally to get players. Back in the day, they were going to Atlanta and get players. You know, they got Peyton Manning out of New Orleans. They would go to California and get players. They would go to neighboring North Carolina and get players. But it's just hard right now. LSU has got a lockdown on the best players in Louisiana. Georgia has a lockdown on the best players in the Atlanta area in Georgia. And Florida pretty much has a lockdown in Florida. USC is not letting studs get out of California. It's just so hard for them. And the state of Tennessee just does not, and anybody that follows recruiting knows this, the state of Tennessee just does not put out the kind of players to support a big-time program. So now lately, Tennessee is getting a lot of secondary players compared to what they were once getting in the 90s. A lot of these other states, a lot of these other schools are wrapping levees around their states and not allowing those players to get away. And I think Jim Mora can see that. In Auburn, I mean, right now, I mean, come on, let's just face it. Nick Saban just has the state of Alabama in his left hand, right hand. And, you know, it's just going to be hard for them to compete. So I think it makes sense a little bit. I think if a program like Alabama, LSU, or Florida came calling for Jim Mora, I think he would talk to them, or even to Georgia.
Wow. Be careful. Don't put that rumor out there, Rob. Those folks are already upset as it is. But, yeah, very interesting. You know, and we get a chance to talk about that, too. I think that was a championship game, too, by the way, with Georgia versus Alabama. That was a great game.
Great game. Great college football game. Amazing. You mentioned Charlie Strong, too, with Tennessee. That's real interesting here. I mean, Louisville says they're going to do everything in their power to keep him. And Louisville's going to the ACC in a couple of years, so they're going into a better conference. This is a real interesting decision. I mean, I think Louisville can be a contender in the ACC. And like I said, Tennessee right now, I mean, they're just not getting the players they're like they're used to. And in my personal opinion, if Louisville can offer them the same kind of money that Tennessee would offer them, I would stay. I would only leave if Tennessee is offering them a very lucrative deal that Louisville just can't match. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, you don't think that Tennessee is a better job? I mean, you know, SEC, you know, obviously I'm an ACC guy, but, you know, number one, you look at the – I know we talked about certain things as far as the program has flipped, but Tennessee has been known for being a national program. And I think that Tennessee, they used to get, like, the best of certain players. Like, they would get a good player from Georgia. They would get, like, a great player from Florida. They would get a good guy from – you know, Michigan or vice versa, they're able to kind of have that national footprint, very similar to a Notre Dame or a, you know, certain schools have that national footprint. They're not anymore. Yeah, but like I said, is that just due to the fact that, you know, obviously, you know, coaching or you know, the style of play? I don't know. I mean, it's very perplexing. I know, like, a lot of Tennessee fans are pulling out their hair because the same thing that happened with a couple of these hires that we're talking about, you know, Derek Dooley, I'm sure he wasn't, you know, the guy that we were all, he's going to take us to the next level. It was kind of probably a shock and a surprise that you actually hired Derek Dooley. So, you know, nothing against him, obviously, but there's just certain coaches that, you know, that you know this is going to be a good coach or they have a solid, you know, track record of work. For example, if you look at a Chip Kelly or if you look at, you know, even Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, certain coaches have a track record that you know this guy just keeps winning and winning and winning, and you insert this guy into a program, he's going to actually add something to the program. He's going to get his players in there. He's going to put a stamp on the program, and he's going to make that take that program to the next level. So, you know, that's why I'm kind of curious to see, you know, obviously if you're Charlie Strong, you want to look at the best for your family, you know, use it to make more money. But it is surprising that Tennessee's having a problem filling this job because you would think that it's, you know, in spite of where they are in the SEC, it's still an SEC school. That's what I'm coming from.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm just going to say this to Charlie Strong. I mean, Charlie Strong is an SEC guy, too, so I'm not sure he's definitely considering his job. But, hey, Charlie, if you take the Tennessee job, please don't wear them orange pants like Derek Dooley did.
I don't think he's going to wear those orange pants.
Don't wear the orange pants. If you're going to wear orange, just wear an orange shirt. Don't wear the orange pants, Charlie.
Robert Ford's giving fashion advice. We love it. We love it. Oh, man. Let's talk about another big event that's going on this weekend, as we kind of spent a lot of time talking about that, and that's the Heisman Trophy presentation, which is happening this Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Got a lot of candidates. I don't know if you have the candidates in front of you, Rob, but I can pull those up if we need to. But, you know, the main
Well, there's only three candidates in my mind. But you go ahead.
Yeah, I know. It's just interesting. I don't know if you want to talk about that, too. But, yeah, you know, obviously, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, obviously Mateo, and who's our third guy that we got?
Colin Klein.
Colin Klein. So, thank you, sir. I guess the question is, number one, who wins, and then who do we think deserves to win? So I'm going to turn it over to you first because I'm curious to hear what you have to say. I'm going to give it to you tonight.
But, you know, last night, we talked about this briefly on last week's show, and you and I kind of had the same thoughts on it. I don't know if we still have the same thoughts on it, but
yeah.
I feel like Manti Te'o is the deserving Heisman winner. He's on the best team in the country as of right now. They're undefeated. Phenomenal year, you know, playing defense on one of the best teams in the country, one of the nation's leaders in interceptions and tackles. But I feel like that Johnny Manziel will win it. But I don't think he's deserving. No, don't get me wrong. Manziel has an incredible year, breaking Cam Newton's record for all-purpose yards in SEC. But, you know, I just kind of feel like I'm one of these kind of players. I'm one of these kind of people. If you're having a great season, a superstar season, and you're on the number one team in the country, I just feel like that player should take precedence. That's why I believe Te'o should win it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Te'o should win it. But doesn't it have something to doesn't that add any weight that Manziel has actually beaten the SEC champion, Alabama? I mean, you think that has something to do with it? I mean, is a freshman coming in there,
you know,
and he did his thing.
Maybe so, but they're still 10-2. Texas, I think we got to keep in mind here, is Texas A&M lost two home games this year, too, and they lost to LSU, they lost to Florida. I know they have Johnny Manziel, and but they lost two games at home. I mean, Notre Dame's undefeated, 12-0. And Manziel, LSU, and Florida's defense, they both shut him down. And so, I mean, you know, he did have a big game against Alabama. I give him that. But he went against two other elite defenses. And I think a lot of people in America are forgetting about it. Both Florida and LSU completely shut him down in the second half of those games. Made him look like an ordinary quarterback. And it's mind-boggling how Texas A&M goes to the Cotton Bowl over LSU, and it's still mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, too. Like I said, this is going to be a very interesting poll because if Manziel wins, he'll be the first freshman to win this award. And then, you know, like I said, we're going against, we talked about it last show about Manti Te'o. He's going to be the first offensive player since Charles Woodson. So, I'm trying to throw some extra votes in there for you as well, Te'o, just to let you know. But we'll see. Obviously, we still have, we got surprised last year because I'm sure some people thought it was neck and neck between Griffith III and Andrew Luck. So it could have gone either way, too. So ensure assaults for always. I'm going to change gears real quick, Rob. I know we got about 5 minutes left, and we'll talk about the NBA and college, but what do you think the chances of Notre Dame are in the BCS National Championship game versus Alabama? Do you think it's going to be a blowout, like everyone's saying, in Alabama, or do you think it's actually going to be a little closer, or do you think that Notre Dame can actually pull this out?
I think as of right now, I like Alabama to win the game. And, you know, I'm personally pulling for Notre Dame. But I like Alabama to win this game by a score of like 20-10. That's kind of, you know, I know we're about a good 40 days away from this game, or close to 30 days away, something like that. And but as of right now, I see like a 20-10 Alabama. Not a complete blowout. I think Notre Dame has the personnel on defense. I'm not so sure if they have the personnel offense to move the ball consistently against Alabama. But I do think they have the personnel on defense to slow down Alabama's offense and stay in this game for a while. But I think in the end, Alabama's just too strong, they're too battle-tested, and I think they win another national championship.
I think it's tough. I don't think Alabama's going to have 300 yards versus Notre Dame. And
no, I don't see that either. I think Notre Dame's defense is too stout for that, and they have NFL personnel on that defense.
And that's the thing, too. I'm kind of, Alabama's definitely up there, but I think this is going to be an interesting game because that secondary can be is very vulnerable, as Johnny Manziel proved to show. And like you said, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, McCarron, I think he's a decent quarterback. He's more of a game manager. He can be, he can make mistakes, too. So I think Notre Dame is going to surprise some people. So I'm going Notre Dame, man. So I'm just saying, I put it out there.
Yeah, I don't think Notre Dame has the quarterback play to throw the ball against to exploit the Alabama secondary issues.
We'll see. I'm just trying to go over there. All right, 3 minutes, Rob. Let's talk about some big things. Let's talk about NBA updates and some college football. I don't know if you saw the college football game. Louisville just destroyed the College of Charleston 80-38. Man, that's an amazing. But I digress. Talk about this, and we got 3 minutes, and we'll talk about the next week too. So I'll give it to you, sir.
Yeah, really quick. You know, we got a big win tonight for the Houston Rockets, beating the Lakers. Lakers lose to Orlando. And the Rockets, a great finish. So Lakers getting on a plane, heading to New Orleans after the game tonight. So hopefully my Hornets
Pelicans.
Can let's talk about that a little bit. Tom Benson, it's rumored to be changing the team name from the Hornets to the Pelicans. It seems like everybody in New Orleans is upset about this decision. They think Pelicans is too old school. You know, New Orleans used to have a minor league team named the Pelicans going back to the late 1800s to 1960. And I think a lot of people in New Orleans wanted the New Orleans Brass or the New Orleans Bounce or the New Orleans Crew. You know, those are the names that most people in New Orleans were hoping for. So no official announcement has been made yet, so hopefully they'll make a decision to change from the Pelicans. It seems like everybody in New Orleans is not on board with the Pelicans, even though that is the state bird here in Louisiana. And but so very interesting here. And the Washington Wizards upsets the Miami Heat tonight. So Washington getting their second win of the season. So it's a shocking win. And RG3 sitting on front row there in Washington tonight. So that's a big win there for them as well. And speaking of college basketball, to me, looks like Indiana and Duke is definitely, clearly, the two best teams in the country. I don't know what other thoughts you might have on some NBA and some college basketball before we wrap up tonight.
No, I agree with you, sir. I know we got about a minute, so let's just kind of talk about next week and let's wrap up the show.
Yeah, next week, once again, join us next Tuesday night. We're looking at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific for our friends down in Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha.
5 p.m. in Hawaii, as they said.
Yeah.
It'll be 5 p.m. Hawaii time. And so definitely join us. What time would that be in Germany, Andre?
It's It's actually like 4 o'clock in the morning, but we're not gonna talk about that, man. So yeah.
Okay. All right. About 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. Join us for anyone that's listening in Germany. Good night, world.
Good night, world. There's a lot of love. We'll talk to you guys as always. It's actually 5:44 in the morning, so they can catch us for that morning as you're getting your coffee. Turn us on. Show us some love. That's what it's all about. But we'll see you guys next week.